Joshua 9, verses 1 to 4. Two-pronged attack. On several occasions in these short discourses, I've drawn attention to the risk, the danger, to which Israel is exposed at this time. A nomadic people. They've been on the move now for 40 years. And for 400 years before that, they were slaves. They've crossed the Jordan. They've conquered two cities. Two and a half tribes are settled on the east of Jordan. But the risk for Israel all this time is that the kings of Canaan, the nations in that land, will sink their differences, combine together, and as a united, single force, come against Israel. And time and again, God has protected Israel. At Gilgal, in the renewal of the covenant at Ebal, and so on. But now, the kings seem to wake up. And these three or four verses tell us of the approaches that they make to Israel. And it's a double-pronged attack. And it is an attack in both cases. The first attack, the first form of offensive against Israel, is by the kings west of the Jordan, having heard about these things. What things? The crossing of the Jordan. Way back, of course, the leaving of Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea. The crossing of the Jordan. The defeat of Jericho, the fall of Jericho. The conquering of Ai. When all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Great Sea as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. Here is one prong of the attack. Open hostilities, a frontal attack, a direct onslaught against Israel. But the people of Gibeon did not join in that open frontal attack. They adopted another method. Verse 3. When the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, when they heard that, however, they resorted to a ruse. They didn't join in the frontal attack. They came with a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins and so on. They tried deception. They tried assimilation. They tried infiltration. They tried accommodation. They adapted themselves, and they cheated, and they fooled Israel. And so the second prong is like a side attack, an insidious attack, a deception. So there's these two prongs, open hostility and subtle, clever scheming. Which of the two was the more dangerous? Quite clearly, the men of Gibeon have picked on the most powerful weapon. Open hostility is a tremendous danger, exposes Israel to tremendous risk, and involves huge suffering and difficulty, toil, labor, battle. But flattery, deception, insidious, incipient, hidden, scheming wins the day. I'll develop this in the next discourse with the fall of Israel to the ruse of Gibeon. But I want just to, in these few remarks, to draw attention to the fact that in the New Covenant still, the ecclesia, the churches, are still subject to such attacks. The New Testament is replete with it. Letters to Timothy and Titus, for example. The last chapter of Romans, and so on and so on. The second letter to the Thessalonians, many other places. There's warning about false teachers, infiltrators, flatterers, deceivers. There is open hostility, of course, but there is a more subtle, inward hostility. Jude talks about those who've infiltrated. Galatians 2 speaks about those who've sneaked in. The church today, believers today, we are subject to this two-pronged attack. Some of it is open and easily recognizable. Islam would slaughter us if it had its way, I'm sure. In some parts of the world, it's going on even now. False religion, anti-religion, atheistical religion, open hostilities against the cause of Christ, against his people. It's been going on since day one, and it will go on to the end. I do not minimize the open attack, the open hostility. The pain and anguish is terrible. How can I speak? I'm living in the West in relative ease and comfort. But let our minds and our hearts go out, and our thoughts go out to our brothers and sisters who, at this very moment, are suffering open hostility from the world, from organized religion, Antichrist. The pain, the suffering, the difficulty, Somalia, Northern Korea, and so on and so on. It goes on throughout the world. And these times might get worse for us all. Elders have to be ready for this. Churches have to be ready for it. Believers have to be ready for it. We have to recognize our enemies and stand firm. But the weapons of our warfare are spiritual, brothers and sisters. Not carnal. We don't take up the sword to defend Christ. We win by preaching, teaching, prayer, and witness. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They are not carnal, but they are spiritual. But that's the first attack, an open hostility, when the state is against us. It's been so in my land in years past. It might come again. Open frontal attack, a terror for the people of God, but more easily recognizable. Let us stand up to this. Let us be ready for it. But then there is the insidious attack. The flattery, the deception, and how subtle this is. This, I think, as I said, is by far the more dangerous of the two. Watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders, of your own selves, he said. Of your own selves, men will arise and lead the people astray. Elders have to be warned against this. We have to be discerning. Believers have to be discerning. Don't believe everything that comes across a pulpit desk. Don't believe these men just because they have religious qualifications. To the law and to the testimony, search the scriptures, test the spirits, and see whether they be of God or not. But here we have it, the enmity to Christ and his people. Well, we see it in Joshua here, in the New Covenant, is enmity to Christ and his people. And it is to Christ. Remember, Paul persecuted the church, yes. But as Christ said, why are you persecuting me? So whether it's open, frontal, or insidious, incipient, flattery, deception, let us be awake and alert, my brothers and sisters. Let's not sleepwalk and drift into trouble. Remember, Christ is the one they hate. You remember Herod and Pilate, though they hated each other, were reunited in their hatred of Christ, Luke 23, verse 12. Remember Acts 4, Psalm 2, the kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and his anointed. And the early church, Acts 4, quoting Psalm 2, saw that in the Jewish leaders and the Roman combined together to attack Christ and his people. So let us learn from the combined open attack of the kings upon Israel at this time and upon the people of Gibeon. Let us watch out for the open and for the hidden attack upon the people of God. Two-pronged attack. May we have our defenses ready. May we be alert and awake, prayerful, looking unto God by His Spirit, holding forth the word of life, maintaining the truth, resisting to the end. May we be faithful, even to the point of death, and look to Christ to give us the crown of righteousness. But may we be faithful to Him in our generation. Let us not drift, sleepwalk, be unaware of these things. Watch out for the two-pronged attack, open and hidden. May God give us grace to recognize it when we see it, and to stand firm, and having done all, to stand.